Despite the daring charge of the Light Brigade, all reported via incipient new yellow journalism, public interest, accentuated journalism, this was the most costly European war between 1815 and 1914. Approximately 500,000 combatants died, including large numbers from disease and exposure. During the course of the war, Prussia, Austria, and Piedmont, the states most affected by 1848, moreover, further jockeyed for position and advantage. Courting the favor of Britain and France under Cavour, Piedmont joined the Allies in January 1855, wanting to get attention for itself and courting the positive gains it might have on behalf from Britain and France as a result of its actions. Austria looked the worst, although pressed by Britain and France to engage, was unable to get Prussian acquiescence to intervene at the meetings of the Germanic Confederation. The Austrians said they would do so to bring the Russians to heel, but only if the Prussians would do so at the Bund in the Confederation, where the Prussians used to basically agree with the Austrian position. Now Bismarck was representing the Prussians, and they weren't going to agree to go ahead with the Austrians, and the Austrians weren't going to go ahead without the Prussians, because guess what? They were next to Russia, and if they went ahead alone, they might be facing the Russian army, which the Austrians did not need to do and did not want to do. But here you have the British and the French pushing the Austrians, and the Austrians really, really looking weak. Austria loses faith. Austria's plight looks pathetic. However, finally, Austria sends an ultimatum to Russia in December of 1855, about the same time as the fall of Sevastopol, and this understandably, of course, really, really angers the Russia. It really angers Russia without gaining Anglo-French good grace in response. What kind of thanks was that to the Russians for all of the help the Russians, at no cost, had given to the Austrians at their moment of need during the revolutions of 1848. Although the Peace of Paris, again, Paris becoming the diplomatic center, negotiated between February and April of 1856, seemed to bring closure to this unfortunate situation and to demonstrate the renewed power of collective European action or concert, this was much more apparent than real. Although Russia agreed to a number of demands made by the other great powers, including demilitarization of the Black Sea and free trade in the Black Sea, no warships there, a European Commission's control over the Danube River, free navigation, the complete independence of the Ottoman Empire, which now became accepted as part of the concert, the loss of any Russian rights over Moldavia and Wallachia, Romania now declared virtually independent, and also Serbia becomes autonomous at this time. And there were a number of other engagements, such as free goods, free ships make free goods, freedom of the seas, and the like. Russian compliance was a product of force majeure. Russian compliance was a product of defeat rather than acceptance of any of these positions. The Russians were going to be revisionist at the earliest moment at which it was possible and to their advantage to do so. Count Camillo de Cavour of Piedmont was given the opportunity of bringing the plight of Italy before the assembled powers to the discomfiture of Austria. And this would begin a pattern of Austrian discomfiture. Piedmont's being at the conference, even, was a slap at Austrian legitimacy and control of northern Italy.